Hello, I'm Dustin Snell, CEO of Network Automation.
Welcome to the podcast, Dustin. Now, tell me a little bit about Network Automation, and particularly about Automate. It sounds like a really fascinating piece of software, the way it works with different things. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, what we're doing with Automate is we're changing the way businesses are doing automation in their back office business processes. Traditionally, the way companies are doing automation in their server rooms and back office is through the combination of job schedulers and scripts, batch files, writing code, custom code. And it's kind of disorganized, it's kind of a mess. It takes a long time to create these tasks, and it's very expensive to maintain them, especially if the person that created them leaves. So what we're coming to the table with is a product that integrates a job scheduling, event-based monitoring for real-time transactions, and drag-and-drop development to replace scripts completely. So we provide a library of 160 actions to encompass most things that businesses want to do: transferring files, writing to databases, starting applications, interacting with those applications. We allow users to drag and drop these things together into a task that completely replaces the need for writing code, scripts, batch files, and integrate it all in one package.
Now tell me a little bit maybe about a scenario in which Automate has helped someone. I know there were some testimonials on your website, but tell me a little bit about something where, because this is pretty much kind of it's graphics driven, right? It's a sort of drag and drop, and you've got these tasks and you've got your stuff mapped out there. Tell me how that would work.
Our slogan is no code, no limits. That's the idea. We like to totally eliminate the concept of having to memorize syntax, write code, maintain that code. We want it all to be visual. You're arranging objects in a sequential order, dragging and dropping to create your automated task. This has been useful in a lot of industries, but in particular in the medical industry. Medical industry has been plagued with a problem of having too many applications that are outdated, legacy, old applications. And now they're in the process of new expenditures to invest in new applications, but they need these things to seamlessly integrate. Well, when you're dealing with a modern-day Windows application versus a old-style terminal application, you can't always use traditional methods to integrate the two, keep the two data pieces in sync. And Automate, you can. We provide a variety of tools, like I mentioned before. The terminal emulation lets you get at the data in the background and then do something with that data right afterwards. That could either be talking directly to another OLEDB database, Oracle SQL Server, putting the data in there, or even just simulating a user typing data into the application. We're the only automation software platform out there at this level of robustness that still has all the interactivity actions, as simple as sending keystrokes, natively populating Windows controls with data.
So if one is interested in, say, a demo of the product, can one take a look at that? Where can they go?
Yes, we have a fully functional trial version. Everything that's in the enterprise version available on our website for download, and basically lasts for 30 days, fully functional. We're confident the software works. It's been on the market for about 10 years now, slowly evolving over time, and it's very powerful. We're not afraid to put it out there, let people try it, see if it works before they buy it.
So what's that website?
It is www.networkautomation.com.
Hi, I'm Rod Murchison, Vice President of Marketing for Vernier Networks. Overall, we are part of the overall network access control market, and within that, we have everything from, you know, compartmentalizing authentication and access control by username, by who they are, but also looking at the status of the endpoint and making sure the system is okay to get on the network. Then we go into the deeper layer of looking at all the communications and are there threats inside of those communications that we need to stop in real time.
Tell me a little bit about how the Threat Lab works and what that is.
Sure. Threat Labs, you know, with all security products today, we are seeing the need from the market to have a facility for identifying and mitigating threats in real time. And often that takes some kind of custom work or a subscription service to pull that off. Threat Labs is our way of doing that. We've got a group of people that, you know, sits at headquarters. They watch the market. They listen to our customers. We see patterns emerging for a new worm or a virus or just a new way of attacking some kind of system. We make subscription-based resources that we can download to our products in real time to mitigate those threats.
And tell me a little bit more about EdgeWall. Now, this is a particular way of dealing with some of the security issues.
With the EdgeWalls, we want to be in line to traffic. We want to be able to take all the endpoints and the infrastructure, send their traffic through the EdgeWall platform. But that EdgeWall is designed to stop the traffic, authenticate the user, validate the endpoint, inspect the traffic, and if it's good, we let the traffic through. So the EdgeWall truly is a stopgap measure for security inside the enterprise infrastructure.
Now, what does that do to the timing of the data delivery, though?
Actually, timing is not interrupted very much at all. I mean, we're talking about 10 microsecond delays and increase in latency. So that is part and parcel. That ability to not impact latency is due to our relationship with Cavium Networks. So something else that has happened in the NAC market that Vernier is at the forefront of is changing the way that security devices are created and designed from the ground up.
But, well, looking into that future, what do you see as kind of where sort of some of the next sort of set of threats are going to come from?
I think a lot of the threats we're seeing is that it's not just your average worm or virus or spyware. I think right now the status is spyware is probably the biggest problem that companies are faced with. It's leakage of intellectual property and not even having any idea or knowing about it. So it's not so much getting the worm on your system, it's the transmission of that data and sending it outside your company.
If folks would like to find out a little bit more about Vernier Networks, where can they go?
The best place to go is our website. So it's www.verniernetworks.com.
Why don't we spell Vernier?
V-E-R-N-I-E-R.
Hi, my name is Steve Mullaney. I'm the VP of Worldwide Marketing for Blue Coat Systems.
Steve, tell me a little bit about what Blue Coat was showing here in Interop 2006.
We're showing a couple things, primarily some new product and technology we call Mach 5, which stands for Multi-Protocol Accelerated Caching Hierarchy. And it's basically a set of five technologies to accelerate application and application delivery across a distributed enterprise.
Now, we got a diagram here which talks, it has the Mach 5 at both the user end and also before it gets to the application service. Tell me, what's it doing at each of these levels?
So, the key thing that's going on in enterprises right now is, and a lot of this is because of Sarbanes-Oxley and people trying to get control over information, is they're centralizing their file servers into consolidated, centralized data centers. And as soon as they do that, they're taking, basically, there are these LAN-oriented applications that are used to having the server sit right next to the user out in the branch office. They now are taking that server and locating it 3,000 miles away. The poor user in the branch office now is finding themselves having to go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, multiple times to that server now located thousands of miles away, adding a lot of latency and poor application performance. And it's happening just at the time that enterprises are now distributing more of their computing power and more of their users out in remote sites and out on the internet. So, you know, that dynamic of centralizing the servers at the same time that they're pushing out, you know, access to those applications from remote locations and then having the performance problem is causing many enterprises lots and lots of pain.
So Mach 5 must have to deal with a few different things in that process. What are some of the issues that come up in dealing at that kind of a distance?
So there's really two sets of things that we deal with. One is more around bandwidth management and the reduction of the number of bits, the amount of data that has to go across the wire. And then the other set of technologies deals with more the issues of latency of just round trips. When you send a file or you're sending packets from a location that's several thousand miles away, you have a round trip time delay of just the speed of light of packets, you know, of the light speed of light that has to go from one point to the other of, you know, tens to potentially hundreds of milliseconds. And a lot of these applications are very chatty. They go back and forth and say, send me the data. Are you sure you want the data? Yes, I do. Okay, can you send me now? Well, maybe. It goes back and forth in a very inefficient way. So other sets of things that we do in our product will basically be smart about that and eliminate that chattiness to eliminate some of the latency issues that you would experience out in that branch office.
Okay, is there something that's happening to the data in flight, though? Is there anything that the Blue Coat technology is doing? Is it encoding? Is it optimizing?
So
it must be doing something.
Yeah, so there's a couple of levels of things that we'll go and do. One level is what we call object caching. So where object caching is, so if you are the user out in the branch office and you request that file, I will store objects locally in the branch office in our device, in our appliance, such that if you ask for that object, and if I have it stored locally, I don't need to go out to the central location to go find it. So I will then give it to you, and then saving all that time. That's one thing. Lots of compression technologies. So, okay, let's say I don't have that object and I need to go get that. And let's say it's a megabyte of information. well, if I can reduce that amount of bits to down to 100 kilobits of information instead of a megabyte, now I'm not using up as much bandwidth on my network, and I can handle a lot more traffic on my network and be more efficient about the number of bits that are going over the wire.
What kind of organizations would be using the Mach 5 technology in your mind?
Distributed enterprise class organizations. So financial services have lots of distributed organizations, healthcare, government organizations, school systems, you know, large K-12 schools.
Anything decentralized.
Anything decentralized where they have a lot of organizations and a lot of remote sites that need to access the applications.
Okay, if one wants to find out a little bit more about Blue Coat in general and Mach 5 in particular, is there a website that folks can go to and check it out?
www.bluecoat.com is probably the best place to start.
Hi, my name is Mike Boschma, and I am a director of product management at D-Link Systems. We are here at the show with our new DSN 3000 series of storage area network products.
My name is Dan Kelly. I'm the director of marketing here for D-Link at the Interop show, and where we're showing our full line of business solutions for connectivity. And the star of the show this week is the storage product, the XStack Storage 3000.
Okay, now D-Link has been known more for, at least I know them more, as like wireless communication and sort of getting information back and forth. Now, is this a different step to go into storage, and particularly storage at the network level?
Yes, it is. Really what D-Link is known for here, mostly in North America, is for our consumer wireless networking business. If you go back about 10 years, we're actually really a switch company, an Ethernet company. And what we're really trying to do here at Interop and as part of our company message right now is to show that we do have complete end-to-end connectivity, and storage is a complementary solution to that product line.
And Mike, you can tell me a little bit what the DSN, give me those numbers again.
We have two products that we are introducing here at the show. There is the DSN 3200 and the DSN 3400. What the 3200 is more of an introductory level product that has 8 1-gig Ethernet ports. These ports can be trunked together to give you a total of 850 megabytes per second bandwidth. We also have our DSN 3400, which is the industry's first 10-gig Ethernet capable storage area network. It's built into the board itself. Also, it is the industry's first single chip solution. So we're able to get the speed of our unit up quite high. Everything's integrated together.
Now, how scalable is something like this? And I know that there's various folks that are involved in this type of business, right? I can see one right now. And tell me a little bit about, is this something that is scalable, like say from a small business up to enterprise level? And hold on before you answer that a second. Hey, can you step up just a little bit?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right.
The product is very scalable. What we're going to do is offer it as a base level with 400 gig drives. You can then add to that. It holds 15 total drive bays, so you're able to add that many more, 11 drives. So you can have, with 400 gig drives, 6 terabytes of raw storage space. But we're not limited by that. You can actually add larger drives. It's whatever your OS can handle. Seagate, I believe, is already now announced a 750 gigabyte drive. We'll be able to handle that.
So you can work with a lot of different systems then?
Correct. But we're going to clarify that we have drives that we have tested and qualified. And we're going to recommend those. But if the customer wishes to try another drive, okay, you can do that. But as far as we have verified and supported them, we'll have a lineup of drives.
If folks want to find out a little bit more about some of the D-Link products that we've been talking about today, where can they go?
D-Link.com, D-L-I-N-K.com.
Okay, no dash in there like
nope.
In the
name? Well, you can do it that way, too. It'll all go to the same place.
Oh, good forethinking.
Yeah.
I've been speaking today with Michael Boschma, Director of Product Management for D-Link Systems, and Dan Kelly, who's the Director of Marketing for D-Link Systems. And again, if the website, why don't you give that to me one more time?
It's D-Link.com, D-L-I-N-K.com.
Okay, thanks for being on the podcast with us.
Thank you.